Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, happy election day to everybody out there across the great state of Montana. I know everybody's just happy to finally get these stupid but political campaign ads in the rearview mirror, if not in the bonfire being lit in your backyard later today. John Jackson, the Joker from X, in the house with us today, and he'll be with us tomorrow for our post-election day show as well. John, we've already been getting some messages from some of our listeners. Incredibly long lines across the state showing the excitement and the enthusiasm out there all across the great state of Montana. Larry Mayer with the Billings Gazette just sent me one of his photographs. He's still editing some of his pictures right now. I don't know if he's posted them on X or anywhere else, but it looks like Toby Keith's concert is taking place at the Metro right now. There is such a long line of people stretching all the way from the pavilion all the way practically up the steps, maybe even to the main Metro itself.
Well, we've said it on your show now for probably close to a year, and it was nice to see the world's richest and maybe the world's smartest man yesterday on Joe Rogan repeat it. And that is, this is it, folks. This is the last election. We lose here, and it's over forever. And that's why it's really great to see all these numbers we're seeing, not just from Montana, but across the country. Let's effing go, people. Let's get out there.
So, Elon Musk was on Joe Rogan's podcast, and then Joe Rogan, of course, came out and all out endorsed Donald J. Trump after, what did he endorse, Bernie Sanders, I think, just 4 years ago. But anyway, since you brought it up, I've actually got the soundbite ready to roll here. I had another soundbite I was going to play because this was a soundbite I wanted to use yesterday. It was talking with these undecided voters, because I think everybody's like, who is still undecided at this point? How could you be undecided? I mean, we've got the most stark contrast ever at the national level, at the state level here in Montana. John Tester is a far leftist. Tim Sheehy is endorsed by Donald Trump. There is a clear contrast here, but this is what Elon Musk had to say on Rogan's podcast since John brought it up.
I'll say it again, man. I think this is the last election. If Trump doesn't win, this is the last election.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
I think you're right. I think people, and a lot of people, are waking up and realize that have been lifelong Democrats. Guys like Bill Ackman, guys like Chamath.
Yeah, exactly. You
know, Tulsi Gabbard switched over to the Republicans. Yep. Like, there's a lot of people who their whole life they've been left wing, and they realize, like, I can't do this anymore.
You and I used to be Democrats.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's nuts.
It's nuts, man. If the Dems win this election, they will legalize enough illegals to turn the swing states, and everywhere will be like California. There will be no escape.
That is so insane.
This is the final. This is it. This is the last chance.
Has anybody tried
and
to
I
push
just wanna
back?
Like, go out and vote. Vote like your life depends on it. Vote like your future depends on it, because it does.
All right. Well said, John. Thanks for bringing that up. And thanks to our producer, Travis, for having the audio ready to roll for us. Phone lines are open for you back after this.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we're going to take your phone calls and more, 406-294-0970. John, this was a question I wanted to bring up yesterday, but it's even better today with you in the house. By the way, if you missed yesterday's program, we had Donald Trump Jr. call into the show. Senator Steve Daines called in at the last minute, give us a last-minute polling update. Absolutely incredible. But, John, I think we can all agree here. In fact, I need to use my Daily Show, John Stewart. Well, John, I don't know if it was John Stewart or if it was Bill Maher, you know, one of these very liberal comedians, but they posed the same question that I've been asking. who is undecided at this point? Like, seriously, if you are one of these undecided voters, like you actually are undecided, how can you still be undecided? I mean, I think Democrats and Republicans, I think we can all agree, like, why in the world would anybody be undecided right now? There is such a clear contrast at the state level, at the national level, across the board.
If you are undecided at this point, just do this one thing for us, okay? Take a trip to the grocery store, go in and buy you some groceries, get your groceries, and then stop by the gas pump, okay? Now, if those two things don't decide it for you, I can't help you.
Yeah, if the price of bacon doesn't wake you up, I don't know how we're going to save your bacon at this point. But I think it's not so much that there are undecided voters. I think there are conflicted voters. They're very conflicted. This was the soundbite I wanted to use yesterday. Brian Yenis with Fox News went out, I think this was in Pennsylvania, if I'm not mistaken, and he found some undecided voters, and listen to what they told him.
I'll say it again, man.
Oh, nope, that's the Elon Musk clip. Let me go cue it up for you. There we go. See, I get to smoking and joking during the break here.
And if you think these get out the vote efforts don't matter, consider this. We spoke to women voters who were in line in Philadelphia suburbs who still had not made up their minds up until the last second. Listen.
I know. I'm still weighing it. I know my mind wants to do one thing. My heart wants to do another thing. It's just hard. It's very hard this time. I supported Trump before.
Okay.
And I just, it's my decision.
So you're going to do it again?
Yeah, because she was with Biden. Biden did nothing for us. He got us in the worst shape ever. So that's why, I mean, I like that she supports women for their rights.
So, John, what I heard there is this conflict that you get, especially some of these women voters that are like, well, I'm pro-choice, and well, I typically lean Democrat, or even these people that they've always voted Democrat and they feel they're leaning in Trump's direction. Because everything, like you mentioned, grocery prices, everything tells them that they have to vote right. They have to vote for Trump. They have to vote Republican. But it's just very hard for them to actually finally pull the trigger because they've probably, many of them just have voted Democrat their entire lives. And so they think that's what they have to keep doing, no matter how bad things have gotten.
One thing that makes this election very, very unusual is that it is in no way abstract. I don't think any other election has been that way, in that we have both candidates have a four-year track record. Okay? So that's all you have to do. If you are undecided up till today, just look back at the records of achievements, the results from Donald Trump's 4 years and from Kamala Harris's 4 years. That's all you have to do. It's real simple, folks. It ain't rocket science.
We've got lots of callers on the phone lines, plus Greg Franks popped into the studio here. But we're going to wait until the proof donuts show up before we turn on Greg Franks' microphone. We were told there might be donuts coming, but I haven't seen them yet. So until the donuts arrive, no microphone for Greg. Stan in Roundup on the phone line. Stan, what's going on?
Hey, good morning, Eric. Hey, you know, we need to get this thing going and get to work right away after this election, and that is in regards to what we call truth in advertising. Now, this whole thing's been an insult to our intelligence. I'm familiar with the New York Times precedents, but you look at advertising of these political things we've seen on TV, you'll see it says, and we are responsible for this ad. Well, that's a misnomer because there's no responsibility. And I would ask that the attorney general, our legislature, our governor get in and put some laws in that the people, the voters of this state have standing. And if a candidate comes up there and bald-faced lies, that they're civil or even maybe criminal, but at least civil penalties. So this kind of garbage can't go on.
It's crazy. Hunter, you know, John, this is one thing I want to say before we get the election results, so that then after the election results come in and you start to hear the virtue signalers call into the show, wow, see, and they pretend to, you know, be the smartest people in the room.
$175 million. That's how much John Tester and Chuck Schumer basically have been spending to try to smear Navy SEAL veteran Tim Sheehy. And they're likely to lose. I mean, it's just, it's appalling how much money they have spent here. And then on top of that, you know, to attack a Navy SEAL. And John Tester not even once could say thanks for your service.
That's in one way. Everybody can see that we practice what we preach here because, and I'm the same way as your caller, listening to these nonstop lies coming over every piece of technology you have and every airwaves out there, just nonstop heinous lies. You want to say, this should be illegal. This has to stop. How can we put up with this? Unfortunately, folks, there is freedom of speech in this country, and we have to listen to that stuff. We do. And I would say you have a right to say that stuff. People just have to be smart enough to recognize it.
Well, and you have the power to stop it today.
Yep.
By getting out and voting against the $175 million that flowed in from out of state to lie.
Yep.
You have the power to put it to a stop right now. Back after this.
Your calls live, 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Squirrel! Squirrel! John, we got to talk about this squirrel here before we run out of time. I mean, I might not get to a couple callers later in the hour because we got to talk about Peanut the Squirrel. It's Peanut, by the way, not Peanut. Somebody kept calling it Peanuts the Squirrel, Peanuts the Squirrel, Peanuts the Squirrel, and they kept saying it fast. I was like, it's Peanut. So anyway, Greg Gutfeld had a hilarious monologue on his program last night. I got to share at least 72 seconds of that monologue for you on Peanut the Squirrel. Crazy story. Hey, first, though, we did run out of time yesterday. We had a caller on the phone lines, and it just sounded like it was going to be a great phone call, but we were so short on time, I asked Neil in the Flathead, Neil, call back again on Tuesday. Let's see. Apparently, his grandfather served in World War II, and he wanted to share his grandfather's poem. Neil, thanks for calling back in. Neil, appreciate it. Neil, are you there? Line four, right, Travis? Okay, I'm not hearing Neil. All right. Okay. All righty. Let's see here. Well, okay, let's just go to the squirrel thing right now before we get to another. I'm going to be distracted all freaking hour unless we talk about this squirrel. You guys heard about Peanut the Squirrel. So this guy rescues this squirrel in New York. And this thing becomes like a social media star. Everybody loves this lovable pet squirrel. The state of New York. Think about all of the Tren de Aragua Venezuelan gang members, the illegal aliens that are causing crime in the streets. They don't have time to go after all these illegal alien criminals in New York, but they got time to go after this little pet squirrel. And it's just a reminder, again, these far-left wackos, they will defend the wolves, but they won't stand up for the baby lambs that get slaughtered by the wolves, right? Just like they will put the criminals back out on the streets, but they will target the innocent. They will target peaceful pro-life protesters. You get the point. Anyway, here's Gutfeld last night.
So meet public enemy number one, Peanut the Squirrel. Apparently the most sinister rodent since Adam Schiff. Or he was until the state of New York decided he had to go. His crimes seem to have been something to do with living indoors, unlike half of New York City. I guess if he had a tent and smoked meth, he'd still be with us. But last week, agents from the New York State Department of Environmental Conservation unleashed a five-hour raid on the home of Peanut's owner, Mark Longo, and took Peanut into custody. 5 hours. Probably took that long to put on the little handcuffs. But thanks to a full 10 agents prepared for heavy resistance, Peanut was apprehended with minimal injury. They must have spent the full 5 hours patting down his nuts.
Not those ones,
John. But for these brave agents of New York's environmental conservation, this was their Bin Laden. Clearly, Peanut had to go. A rodent Nazi, a nutsy, if you will. Because in New York, they don't want squirrels taking your nuts. Just the pediatricians.
Just the pediatricians. Oh, man. Man, wasn't that classic? Oh, man.
Actually had right on, dead on, related story is that, and this, file this under the you hate to see that files, is that because of what they did here, I guess there have been bomb threats at 10 of these New York State Department of Environmental Conservation offices because people are so mad about this. But I thought we in Montana have a unique view of this. You all know that for years, what have they said out here in Montana? It's triple S.
Shoot, shovel, and
shovel, shut up. And see, this guy had a rescue squirrel and a raccoon in his house that he was making them internet stars, social media stars. And what happened was somebody in another state, some Karen in another state, ratted him off, okay, because she had seen this on social media. So, like Jules said in Pulp Fiction, you know, shut up. You know, don't, if you've got an animal that somehow you had to rescue that the law thinks is wild, shut it.
But again, they'll go after this little squirrel. They'll go after a hero like Daniel Penny, who rescued and saved those people on that subway that day. But then they let the illegals just roam free, crime after crime after crime. Let's go next on the phone lines. We've got Dwight Smith and Norma Ashby Smith now with us. Great to hear from the two of you.
Great to hear from you and John, Aaron, Norma, and I are just, we love your show, and we tune in just about every day. Norma and I attended the ECHO Pregnancy Center annual banquet here in Great Falls last Thursday night at the Heritage. You're familiar with the Heritage. Over 700 people were there, and it was hardly a dry eye in the house from our guest speaker. He had a story of everybody wanted his mother to abort him, and she weathered all the storm of criticism and had this wonderful baby. She was gang raped, and this baby, Stephen went on to be a great athlete, a musician, and now has spoken in 40 different states on pro-life.
That's incredible. 700 people there. Yeah, that's incredible. This CI-128. Look, I think it's crazy. They want to have no limits on abortion whatsoever, but yet they're writing the left-wing Supreme Court in Montana put such deceptive language on the ballot that they're making it sound like they would put a limit in place when they effectively take away any limits whatsoever.
Exactly. Abortion's already illegal in Montana up to viability. They just want to add more and more from birth that you can abort your baby, and it's just it's such a out of state dark money ploy to have abortion here completely constitutionally in Montana.
That's right.
It's a rigged deal.
That's right.
Yeah, serious, yeah.
Go ahead, Norma.
Yes, it's good to hear your voice, Darren. You're the best voice on radio.
Oh, you're too kind. I don't know about that. There's way, way better voices than me out there. Mark Daniels got that beautiful voice, and Shelby, good for another first down. Peter Christian in Missoula, man, there's some incredible voices out there. Norma, did you have something to share before I get to our next caller?
Oh, Norma, about your journalism, you never got into these social issues, did you?
No, we didn't, but I'm sure glad you do it, and you do it so well and so fairly that we just applaud you for taking these on.
Well, you're too kind. Great to hear from both of you. I understand the proof donuts have arrived. So Travis tells us that Greg Franks may speak now. But, John, I haven't seen the proof yet. I don't see the donuts. Do you see the donuts?
Until I see proof,
I'm not turning that
microphone.
That's
a law enforcement axiom right
okay,
there.
Okay, yeah. All right. We're going to make him hold out a little bit longer here. we got right on John in Bozeman. What's going on, right on, John?
hope to see you. Yeah, I'm planning on being in Bozeman, Montana. It could be one of the biggest election night parties in the country. Could be. Yeah.
Heck yeah. Thank you guys for your service and everything like this. And I'm doing the best I can with the limited capacity that I do have. And I hope to work for Tim Sheehy's company coming up here soon.
So, well, I'll tell you, it's an incredible company. They've hired so many veterans that I know. That, you know, found good work, which means a lot when they get back home from overseas or they, you know, retire from the military. Having a good career is just incredible. All right, right on, John. Well, great to hear from you. Hope to run into you. All right. We've got the proof in the house now. John, the three of us now are like Homer Simpson. Donuts. Look at these things. My goodness. Holy shnikes, look at these donuts. Travis, you need to come grab one here. I'm going to make this my cheat day, I guess, here. So, oh, my goodness, look at those donuts. All right.
Gourmet donuts. Here.
Greg Franks, you may speak.
I get my 2 seconds before the break.
You've been
Jason has a good friend. He didn't even expect proof of life or proof donuts out of Billings. They're the best gourmet donuts in town.
Frank in Malta is going to be ticked to get one of these.
Well, yeah, Frank can hustle down here and do
That's
this.
That's right, so. Frank.
But yeah, Jason's a good guy, good business, and yeah, thank you for bringing the donuts in. John just untied me as the donuts were.
So now guided me. We have left Greg Frank speechless. Now he saw the donuts, he doesn't even know what he wants to say anymore. What were you? Why did you even come here? What were you going
to
say?
I came here to ask people to volunteer to go to their central committees, the campaign headquarters, and offer if they have time available to offer to drive people to the polls. And I mean, this race isn't over. We need to finish strong. Feel very confident about the direction this election's going. I think we're going to have a very good victory night in Montana. And as I said, in the 8 o'clock hour, I think we're going to have a very big night nationally. I think Trump is going to win. I feel very confident about this.
You think this could be like 1984?
No, I think 1980 more.
More like 1980. Okay, but you remember the 1984 election in particular when you were what, 9 years old?
No, I was nine in the 80 election, and when. The weekend before, Gallup had Carter up by 1 point. CBS had a very similar poll, and Reagan ended up winning like 429 electoral college votes. It was just something obscene number. I don't remember. I'd have to look up the exacts. And just states turning the motivation for people, and even with Elon Musk and Joe Rogan pointing out how important this is, I think people across this country do know how important it is, and that's why you're seeing these massive turnouts, these big lines at the voting booths. If there's anything you guys can do, get out there and help. Let's finish this thing strong.
John, I hope it's so big of a turnout for Trump and everybody else that Antifa just puts the skateboards down, doesn't even try it. But
see, they're already boarding up in D.C. and other places.
All the blue states, they're getting the National Guard ready because their people are about to riot once again.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
Today, I'm in Fort Worth, Texas, attending Angus Convention 2024. And there is a lot of cautious optimism for both registered and commercial cattle producers attending this year's event. I caught up with CEO of the American Angus Association, Mark McCulley.
There does tend to be a lot of optimism, not ignoring some of the challenges that are out there. Folks across the country, there's lots of challenges still to point to, right? But in general, I think we look at our market and we look at some of the fundamentals in our market. The demand is incredibly strong for our product, our end product. Even at the retail prices that we've put out there, we continue to see great movement of our beef products out there. Yet, that's translating. Obviously, we're sitting on some pretty low inventories, so that's sitting translating to some really good cattle prices. But for our commercial customers, of course, our seed stock breeders, our registered Angus breeders have continued to enjoy some really strong demand on their good registered Angus seed stock. And so, again, quite a bit of optimism fueled by some margin and some profitability in our business.
Profitability and herd rebuilding, very big topics here at the convention as it is across the nation. And a lot of uncertainty, though, about when that herd rebuilding will take place. It definitely will, but it is all dependent upon weather and, of course, interest rates as well. Again, I'm at Angus Convention 2024 here in Fort Worth, Texas. I'm Lane North.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint
Okay, Neil and the Flathead called back again. We're going to try this one more time here. One more time. Neil in the Flathead's got a poem to share from his grandpa in, was it World War II? Neil, are you there?
Yeah, Aaron, how you doing this morning?
Hey, great. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, so my great-grandfather, John, served in France in World War II. He was a pretty interesting guy. He did a lot of stuff. I don't know a heck of a lot about him, but I recently came across this poem, and it struck me how many parallels that were being from today and back years ago. I'm not entirely sure what year he wrote this. It was certainly well after the war, but I'm just going to go ahead and start in on it. The poem is called In Memoriam. Most memorable spot in town, of which we know no doubt, between 6th and 7th on Main going south. A monument of the doughboy, a noble, so brave and so true. Still in pursuit of enemy that we may have freedom, me and you. For us a symbol, not to take a chance, the same flower of youth who fought for freedom and truth somewhere in France. Let's unite with his spirit and he's accomplished his mission. We cannot claim our heritage unless we cherish its tradition. He fought a war to end all wars. We know what happened since. Perhaps too much education, not enough common sense. Because some 20 years later, without much ado, he was stabbed in the back and we had war number two. Then the buds of his buddies now took up defense. True to the red, white, and blue, just like he was in France. They fought for God and country, that we may be free, for stars and stripes forever, is our duty and destiny. We gave much foreign aid, coexisted with corrupt trends, not using common sense, that we cannot buy our friends. It seems we are sinking in some contaminative pool. It's now unconstitutional to ask God's help in school. Be whiskered rascal on our doorstep, blowing loud on his tuba, says he will blow us up if we keep flying over Cuba. Let us live with doughboy's spirit. We cannot afford to go astray. It is not enough to say in God we trust. To keep our freedom, we must pray. We pay homage to our doughboy who fought for freedom everywhere. I beg you to be faithful because I was with him over there. That was my great-grandfather's poem. He was a bugler in the 384FA Battery F.
Yeah, World War One must have been there. Yeah, I said World War II. It's a tribute to World War One. Yeah.
Yeah, he served in World War I.
That is very interesting. Thanks for sharing that, Neil. John and Greg, feel free to jump in here too as well. What that makes me think of, you know, this was billed as the war to end all wars. This is not going to be the election to once and for all. That's it. All right. We got out and voted today. If we save America today, that's it. Okay, we're done. No, we're going to have to be back in 2 years, 4 years, actually less than that for school board races and much more. The real work starts tomorrow, but you got to get the job done today first.
The real work is every day. And it really is just, if I could tell everybody just one thing, you've got to take that 15 minutes out of every day and go in and check that news source that you trust. Get on social media. That's the best thing you can do is get on Twitter. Check those news sources. Be informed every day of your life. Now, we all know we got that extra 15 minutes. I don't want to hear from anybody that they don't have it. You know you all do, right? Take that 15 minutes. Be informed every day of your life. And then you will not have any more undecided voters in this country.
Greg, any thoughts from you?
Yeah, I want to highlight more on something what John said earlier about smashing the mosquito with a hammer. This will be the first time in 114 years Montana has the prospect of having two Republican senators representing us in the U.S. Senate. And, you know, we have a real opportunity. Montana has been struggling from a blue to a purple to trying to get over to that hard red state to where we're solid Republican. I think after this election we may very well claim that, but we need to behave as such and we need to govern as such. And we need to hammer the Democrat Party and drive them into the abyss for generations and make Montana as an example of how this state, how a state can lead and how we can govern a free and fair people.
Well, on that line, I think the judiciary, the federal courts, our state Supreme Court, that is what has destroyed our industrial base. They're anti-agriculture. They're anti-oil, gas, and coal. They shut down and killed the timber industry in western Montana. That's because of these liberal federal judges that were put on the bench. So that's if we want to really restore our industrial agricultural base, we got to do that, if you ask me. 406-294-0970, the number for you. Let's go next to DJ in Kalispell. DJ, what's on your mind?
Morning, gentlemen. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you. Go ahead.
So I had a friend yesterday that was standing in line to vote, and she had a group of Canadians that were behind her that were voting, and I was just curious how that could be. They said they were using their friend's VRBO address, and one guy said he could use his Costco card for ID. What is your thoughts on that?
So did your friend, like, report this to any authorities or anything like that?
She did, and they said if it's illegal, they'll get caught.
Okay, well, yeah, let's hope. Keep us posted on that one, because remember, we had non-citizens. I don't know if you remember this one, John. We had non-citizens that actually voted in Dodson, Montana, in a municipal race there. Two non-citizens voted, and guess what, John? The race was decided by two votes. Imagine that.
Did you hear that story out of Michigan? They catch this Chinese national voting. She voted. And I guess they are going to bring her up on charges. But, oops, because they already separated the ballot from the envelope, too bad that vote still gets counted.
The vote's going to count anyway. Yeah, yeah. All right, let's go to another caller. We got Justin in Roundup. Justin, what's going on? Justin, are you there?
Go ahead. I'm here. So did you see that Kamala came to a church to speak at a Baptist church, and that Jack Hibbs, do you know who Jack Hibbs is?
The name sounds familiar. Yeah, yeah. What's up?
Jack Hibbs is a prominent preacher, pastor, I think, in California, but he dissected and analyzed her so-called sermon that she preached at a Baptist church. If you haven't seen it, go look it up, and it's amazing, because she went on there to talk about, you know, joy comes in the morning, and she's a God-fearing Christian, and she loves our Lord Jesus Christ. But Jack Hibbs broke down the verses that she used and the sermon that she was preaching, trying to pander to the Christian vote. And it was just amazing. So if you didn't get a chance to see it, go look up Jack Hibbs' breakdown of Kamala Harris's sermon.
Interesting. I loved the CNN breakdown of her campaign commercials. John, did you see how CNN exposed how Kamala Harris was running one commercial about Israel and Gaza in the Jewish voter-heavy Pennsylvania, and then another commercial in the more Muslim-American-heavy state of Michigan?
Well, she slipped up also the other day. They were talking, I guess there's some proposition out on the ballot out in California, her home state, and they asked her her position on it, and for one time, once in 3 months, she gave the honest answer. She says right to the reporter, yeah, I really don't want to take a position on that because I'm right in the middle of an election. And that's been her whole thing for 3 months. That's why she will never answer a question. It's not only she doesn't want to get penalized for it, but see, now, you remember Obama told you exactly what he was going to do. Joe Biden told you exactly what he's going to do. But now she knows we and the American people hate their policies. Their policies are a disaster.
And what you just said about Kamala Harris is exactly the same thing that John Tester has been doing. Well, he's supporting Kamala Harris for president, but he told the media that he doesn't want to say that because he's running for re-election. And also, just like Kamala Harris, she'll say one thing over here to the Jewish voters and then another thing over here to the Muslim voters. John Tester pulls the same Adam Schiff here in Montana and then back in D.C. He's even waffled on Israel, you name it. Michelle in Billings next up on the phone lines. Michelle, what's going on?
Good morning. I just wanted to say I'm so happy to see everyone standing in line to vote. That's great. It's a big line out by the metro. Now, I already voted early, so I didn't have to worry about that. But when I went by this morning, I was really upset because I did not see any traffic control. And I'm worried about that because when I went through, I let two cars go out of the metro so two more could come in to vote. But not everyone's doing that. So I wanted to say your vote is important. be patient with all the drivers, but if you're on Bench Road, please allow those cars to get out so the voters can get in there.
Wow.
So
the voter turnout is so strong, even despite the 80% turnout in early voting. John, the voter turnout is so... They need Toby Keith concert-style traffic control. Wow, that's crazy.
More, all the way till 7 o'clock tonight.
8 o'clock tonight.
8 o'clock tonight.
8 o'clock tonight.
Yeah. More.
Get to the election party, you know what I'm saying? yeah. Keep running through the tape, Montana. Keep on running through the tape. Becky and Big Fork up after this.
Just studio. Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, John, I had to cut off a sliver of one of those proof donuts there, especially when we're hearing all this talk about the doughboys. We got some dough with these proof donuts here, but I sent a photo to Frank in Malta, and he said, man, them donuts are going to be the last thing y'all eat if Kamala Harris wins the election. So she's coming after every single one of you.
I want to let y'all know that just in case Kamala were to win, the second gentleman told us the other day about her work ethic. I don't know if you saw him up on the stump. He's talking about her work ethic.
Don't do it.
And I'll give you the quote.
I saw this on Gutfeld last night. Okay, he's just quoting Doug Emhoff.
This is Doug Emhoff right out of his mouth.
Oh, brother.
He said, Kamala did what Kamala always does. She put her head down and went to work.
Bill Clinton was a real appreciator. Oh, my goodness. My goodness. It is the most unwoke hour of the week.
She's a hard worker, Aaron.
Hey, there's two predictions. I'm not much in the prediction business, but there's two predictions I want to make real quick because I want to get it on the air, on the record, before the election results come out. One is this. The liberal media, starting tomorrow, they're going to go back to pretending to be fair. The liberal TV stations here in Montana, they're going to go back to pretending to be fair and pretending to be unbiased because they've been all in supporting John Tester, right, with their fake phony coverage. They're going to go back pretending to be fair. And this is the same liberal media that propped up Zoe Zephyr during the legislature. So we're going to call BS on that, right? And then I think it's going to be a good night for the Republicans and for Tim Sheehy. If it is, I think there's going to be some Republicans out there who maybe didn't even help win these elections who will try to say, it would have happened anyway. The state's just so conservative now that any Republican out there would have won. And I would have said, are you kidding me? $175 million spent against you, and you think anyone would have won that race? Although I would say, though, that our state is definitely going more red. Well, we'll find out later tonight. But those are just two things that I wanted to put on record. So when the virtue signaling starts, we can talk about it. Let's go to Becky in Big Fork. Becky, what's on your mind?
Hi, Aaron. Hey, I could not let today go by without just thanking Tim Sheehy for taking this ride for us, for saying yes, for standing up for freedom. He didn't have to do this. And his wife and kids and family. And it's been a dirty campaign. He had a good life, just like Trump. He didn't have to do this. And he did this for us. He did this for Montana. And I want to thank him. The disgusting ads and everything that was against him for his service, it just, every time I would see him, I would just like cringe. And I want to thank him for being there for us, for saying yes. And I haven't voted yet, Aaron, but I'm going to. If I have to stand in line for 2 hours with my garbage sack on here in Flathead Valley, I'm going to do it because it's raining out. I'll put on my garbage sack and I'll be standing there. But I can't thank him enough, and I want him to know that and hear that from us.
Wow, I'll tell you what an incredible message, and I can tell that's heartfelt. Yeah, could you imagine, Becky, could any Montanan imagine if you had $175 million spent against you?
And you're right. I mean, he had a great life. He's got this incredible aerial firefighting yeah. business. He already served his country. So did his wife. Great life. He's been successful. And success is a good thing in America. And then to just, I mean, $175 million spent against you. You're right. Thank you to him and his wife and their kids and their family for being willing to put themselves through this garbage to stand up for this country and to fight for this country.
Yeah, and thank you, Aaron. Thank you for all of you do. And for all of us voters, get out there and vote no matter how long we have to stay in line. It's a privilege. We get to vote today. We get to say, John Tester, you're fired.
Do you want to wake up tomorrow morning and say, was there something more I could have done? God, what else could I have done? Or do you want to say, look, you put it all on the line. You put it all out there. You did everything you could for your kids and your grandkids. Becky, great to hear from you. John, your thoughts?
Yeah, and if you saw our boy Sling Blade there, John Fetterman was on Rogan's podcast just the other day, and he talked about that, and he made the example of Montana. He said, can you imagine that much money going into a state of Montana with their population? And he was just imagining to himself how the people out here are completely and utterly inundated with this crap. And he knows that from Pennsylvania. he just instinctively knew it.
When you said Sling Blade, I was thinking that was like a meat grinder reference or something where, you know, like
him play for a potato there.
Mm-hmm. All right. Hey, I want to close out the program. We've only got about a minute or so to go. Let's play this montage for you from the Trump War Room. I think it was edited for language.
Put on notice, if you f*** around with us, if you do something bad to us, we are going to do things to you that have never been done before.
The forgotten men and women of our country will be forgotten no longer. 2024 is our final battle. They stole our jobs and they plundered our wealth. The future does not belong to brothers. The future belongs to patriots.
The activation word, Ronald McDonald.
We will drive out the globalists. We will cast out the communists. America will start winning again. Winning like never before. We will bring back our jobs. We will bring back our borders. And we will bring back our dreams.